How many of you ever worry? I mean, preachers always worry, you know, about what subject to preach about. You know, is this going to be something that they heard recently, or is this something that we really, you know, need at this particular time? Because we can pick up the Bible and say, okay, it landed at this verse. We'll teach that subject today. But we get concerned about things, don't we? Some of you probably have certain things on your mind that are either happening this afternoon or is going to happen tomorrow. And we become concerned, which we need to be concerned at times, but we many times become overly concerned. Reading from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6 down through verse 8. The Apostle Paul was older, of course, than he was at the time he preached the gospel in many parts of the known world then, and recorded in the book of Acts. And we show some growth in him. We show some contentment in him as time goes on. There are things that we grow in. We mentioned this morning, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And a lot of folks will say, well, I have faith in God. Well, what about an increased faith? Remember the time that Jesus said to his apostles, you know, oh ye little faith, could you not? And then it showed that they were impatient. But Paul says here, be careful, or one translation says, be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Thomas Carlyle once said this. He said, our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but what lies clearly at hand. You know, that's a lot of the problem I've had over the years. I'm worried about what's going to happen next year. Back when I was, when we were preaching up in Montana, I was wondering, you know, how are my kids ever going to go to college on the money I'm making? You know. And you just get you get concerned about things, and as time went on, it worked itself out. It worked itself out, and I didn't ever become rich. But the boys found out some way or the other to pretty well put themselves through school. So there are things that we get concerned about, and many times that are out there in the future, rather than concentrating on what's at hand. Now, I'm just as guilty of that as probably anybody else. And that's not something that you say, well, I'm a Christian, and today I stop worrying. Like that George Jones song, he stopped loving her today. Well, it just doesn't cut off that well, does it? I want us to consider two angles here on our being anxious about things. What are some things that concern us? What are some things that we worry about? Are there categories of worry? Preachers like to have one, two, threes, you know, to get at least for us, for me to see it. Maybe you see it easier. But and also, well, now that we've seen that these things that we worry about, how can we help the situation? Is there something that we can do? Is it something in our mindset that needs changing that will help me through this time of excess over-concern, excess worry? When we read about Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Luke chapter 10 and verse 41, the Bible says of Martha, Mary and Lazarus' sister, and said of her that she was careful and troubled about many things. She was, one translation says, worried. Worried and fuss. I remember back when we was growing up, somebody said, you know, you don't have to, you know, fuss so much with that. You don't have to be worried about that or concerned about that. But what are some of the worries? How can we categorize some of these things we worry about? Well, number one, and others have got this outline. I heard a preacher one time preach a lesson that had these first three points. And after it was over, I said, you know, I got that that same sermon. He said, no, I can't. I don't know where he was coming from, but I got it out in Lubbock, Texas, just the three points. Number one, we worry about things that have already happened, don't we? Something that has already happened, and there's not a thing I can do about it. You know, I may be concerned about who my boy's married. I may be concerned that now they got three kids when maybe it's been better off just having two. Or, you know, my daddy was always concerned that I didn't stay in that same house. That first house I built when my payments were $99 a month. I'm concerned about that now, you know. I was a vagabond for the most part of my life, I think, going from place to place, flitting around. Worrying about the past, though, someone said it's like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. That, if you've ever tried that and you figured out a way to do it, let me know. Things that have been done can't be undone for the most part. You know, we can apologize for things, but sometimes, and we hear people say things and later apologize, and we say, boy, that's a lame apology. Well, just about anything that you say after you said the wrong thing, for the most part, is going to be lame, isn't it? We worry about things that have already happened. We say things. Past words can't be unsaid. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that, but you said it. I apologize for saying that, but you said it. It came from somewhere. Now, if the past or what we do and what we say, if it involves sin, then we need to ask God for forgiveness. And we need to believe that He will forgive us of those sins if we repent. Isaiah 55, verse 7. There's a man named Lloyd George who was a prime minister of England. He once said this, I made the practice in my life to always close the gates behind me. Close the gates behind me. I remember being on my grandfather's farm, and there were a lot of gates that you just didn't dare leave open. You, because there were cows on the other side, or mules on the other side, or there were hogs on the other side, or whatever, and they were going to get out if that gate was open. And there are a lot of things that happen in the past that we can't do anything about, and this man says, I close the gate behind me. The word, I don't get overly concerned. I learn from it, but I don't get overly concerned about what's already happened, and wishing I could have done this or done that. Number two. We sometimes worry over things we don't even have control over, you know. I'm concerned about the way that this country is going. But what is it I can do about it? I can pray. I can go to the ballot box. Well, it's not a ballot box anymore, the computer, whatever. And pull that lever on the people that I think will represent me. And we'll represent what I believe, what you believe. But you know, there are a lot of people that are worried throughout their life about death. That are worried throughout life about catching this particular disease or that disease. I know when my brother passed away and they never did diagnose what happened to him, I got concerned. I had some double first cousins to have heart attacks at a younger age. I got concerned. Now, the difficulty arises if we let that continue to build up in us. That we become so involved in something that we can't control that we can't adequately take care of those things that we can control. A lot of people that are a lot younger than we are afraid about going older. They worry about it, growing older. When really we need to be afraid of the alternative. But we all should, as we age, as we grow, we need to grow in faith. We need to grow in belief in God. We need to grow in trust. And thereby it helps us through in those times of problems. Now, third thing, we look at things that have already happened, things over which we don't have any control, and there are some things that will never happen. Some things, boy, I like to manufacture those things. Because I used to meet with the Internal Revenue Service a lot on audits. And when I went to work for the Internal Revenue Service, guess what? They audited 3 of my tax returns. I'm going to get the job or I may not get the job. But part of it's going to be based upon whether they find anything wrong, drastically wrong, with those tax returns. I was glad that 2 of those years I was in the Army, and I filed that little old bitty card. So I wasn't as worried. And 1 year I itemized, I had some little dinky expenses. I shouldn't have been worried about that either. The lady that dealt with me knew that pretty soon I'd be in there and I might be examining her tax returns. So she was kind of as easy on me and kind of worked me my way through it. But I was concerned. I was concerned when they sent out a special agent to our neighbor's house across the road. You know, they asked him, what about this Lonnie's fellow? You know, is he a good fellow? Is he a fellow we can trust? Is he a fellow that can hold things in confidence? We worry about things that never happen. These things that we fantasize, we manufacture in our minds. We might approach a new job. We might approach a new situation that's arisen in our family. We might be moving to a new home. It's something that we're unfamiliar with. But it doesn't matter that I'm not familiar with. I know exactly what's going to happen. And what if this goes wrong? Well, dealing out there in the what-ifs, that can cause us a lot of problems, can't it? Dealing out there in those what-ifs. Mark Twain said this, I've worried over a great many things in my life, the most of which, what? Never happened. The most of which never happened. Now, I mentioned to Janice what the name of my sermon was, and I told her, I said, you know, I hate to preach that sermon because I worry so much. And I worry, you know, there are some lessons that preachers don't like to preach because they know that you see them as they are. And, you know, we'd rather kind of come over a little bit different maybe than, well, Elias worries all the time. What's he doing preaching about that? He's concerned about, well, you just got to keep trying. Remember, Paul said in Philippians 4 just before he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, he said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. Well, that meant there were certain situations, including his current situation of being in jail, that he didn't worry about. That's why he and Silas in Philippi at an earlier time could sing and praise God and pray to God at midnight, even though they were behind bars. I'd say, somebody bail me out. What have I done to deserve this? I was only out there preaching and doing what I was commissioned to do. What is happening? What is going on here? He didn't seem to be concerned. But you know, he said this didn't happen all at once, because there's the word learned in there, isn't it? He said, I learned. You might say, well, when he became a Christian, he automatically wasn't concerned about anything. He was totally content. He learned. And there are things that we learn. And I think one of those things that we learn is we learn about things that we don't need to worry about. Now, you may say, well, I worry about things, and there are times when I've just got to back. Well, there's times that I've had to back off stuff, too. There's a thing I remember back in the past when I dealt with the Revenue Service, when they were auditing Genesco or American General. that there were some meetings that I had with them that I was concerned about. But I found out that if I get too concerned, then I get all jittery, and I can't halfway do what I need to be doing. Just can't think as well. Someone said that worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. It's hard to remember that. I had to read it, but it's messing around with tomorrow and the opportunities we may have there by bringing all our troubles from the past over and worried about them. Most things we worry about have already happened. We don't have any control over or a lot of these things are never going to happen. I used to go on a job interview, and I'd envision everything. Well, you're supposed to envision some things, like the questions they're asked. But a lot of times, my mind it would be going 90 miles an hour, trying to figure out, well, what if that happened? What if they do this? What if? Well, what are some of the things that we can do? And you've probably learned a number of things as you've read God's Word. What can we do to keep us from getting so anxious about things? I know I heard somebody preach one time, says you should never, as a Christian, you should never worry. You should always trust God. Well, we need to always trust God. And we don't need to worry. We don't need to be sinning either, but we do sin, don't we? We're human beings. And I don't think he would even be right. This church at Philippi, as I read the book, those four chapters, I don't know of any one of the books that he wrote to these churches, epistles, these letters, that has more positive things in it. Oh, the church at Corinth, he lit into that church because of all the sin was going on. Well, these people were sinning too. But he was close to them, and he was dealing with them. And one of the things he evidently felt that they needed to continue to work on is their anxiety. Why bring it up? Why bring it up unless it could have been a problem, would be a problem, or was a problem? Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And give us enough money to make it through tomorrow. And get the kids off to college. And to retire on. Well, that's too much stuff to have to worry about at the same time. I'm glad I didn't worry about what I was going to do when I retired. I was concerned at times, but I had bigger plans. I had different plans than some cards that I was dealt with. I didn't envision, with Janice being 6 years younger than me, I didn't envision her quitting work 6 years before she was to retire. I didn't envision that. My planning had been to have her salary coming in. It was already spent. But you see, that was my planning. I left God out of that picture. And sometimes when we say, thy will be done, we need to be ready to accept the will of God. Sometimes it's not going to be what we think it's going to be. I remember John saying in his prayer that he didn't know exactly how to pray for these people. And a lot of times we don't. Your will be done, God. Your will be done. Whatever you think needs to be done here, because he can see the end. We can't see the end. We're thinking about today. One day at a time. If we pray for this day's need, we won't be overly worried about what we needed yesterday or what we might need in the future. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't plan to some extent. A person is foolish. I tell my kids now, don't you rely on Social Security. Don't you rely on Medicare, because it ain't going to be there, because I'm going to take it. It's going to come to us folks, hopefully, during our lifetime. The rest of the folks are going to be paying extra Social Security, self-employment tax, or whatever, FICA tax, to so we can live out our life with some semblance of dignity. But they better not spend all their time thinking about that, had they? Because then they won't be able to make good decisions as to what's happening that day. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." Doesn't mean that I can't profit from the past. A lot of times history repeats itself. So we need to profit from our experiences. But we don't need to be dragged down by our experiences. Ron Burdett said this. He said, "There are 2 days in every week that a Christian need not worry about. Yesterday and tomorrow." Don't you wish we could do that? We just have this airtight compartment where Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and sweat was dropping down as it were blood, and he was agonizing there, and he was asking God, "You know, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. Nevertheless, thy will be done." And he was thinking of that day. He was human. He was concerned about that day. 2 days. Never worry about yesterday and tomorrow. Someone said that one way of looking at that is yesterday's buried and tomorrow is unborn. You see, we've heard preachers, we've heard teachers, we've heard others say, you know, you've not been guaranteed tomorrow. We've not been guaranteed our next breath. And to some extent, that came home to us on 9/11. Well, what's going to happen? Well, things can happen. Things can happen that, you know, we can do all imagining we want to. And it doesn't matter. It still happens. Today's hours been given to us. And the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to fulfill the responsibilities that I have today. If I build my life today, if I work on my life today, if I work on my choices that I make today, I won't have to worry about eternity. I won't have to worry about eternity. Another way to help remove fear from our lives is to pray more to God. That's what Paul says there. Nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer. When we get worried about something, a lot of times we seek, "Boy, if I just had more money, or if I had more time, or if I pray to God more, then there's going to be a lot more help there than it would be there by myself." You've heard hear some people say, "Well, I'm alone." Well, a Christian is never alone. We're never alone. We've got words that we can read from God's Bible. We've got Bible tapes that we can listen to as our eyesight dims. We've got people that we can talk to on the telephone. We can call them to encourage them when they're sick. And a lot of times you get more encouragement back. I call Sister Boner a lot, because Sister Boner is an encourager. Because I know she's got a lot of health problems, but she wants to know how I'm doing. She wants to know how Janice is doing. And she asks questions about the church. Paul says an attitude that we need to possess: pray without ceasing. You can't have to go around with your eyes closed and your head bowed, but you can pray while you're in the car. Nothing says that our eyes got to be closed. We can pray more than just at the table. James says effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. In addition to living one day at a time and improving our prayer life, we need to watch our attitudes. Remember, Paul said again in the Philippian letter, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What is the attitude of our mind toward things? The psalmist said in Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." He meditated on the law day and night, according to Psalm 1. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his soul heart, in his heart, so is he. We could say, as a man meditates in his heart, so is he. If we can get our thinking straight, if we can get our thinking straight to the extent about those things that we that go over again and again in our minds, this will aid us. If we seek to know more about Christ, what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? A lot of times we've got to know what did Jesus do before we can answer that question, what would Jesus do? Now another thing that can help is to be aware that there's going to be different things that we worry about. There are going to be times when we're going to be concerned, overly concerned about things. Now, one little girl was asked, you know, why she was happy one day and not the other. She said, well, today I pushed my thoughts around. And on that day I was unhappy, I let my thoughts push me around. Abraham Lincoln said, I've been about as happy as I made up my mind to be. A lot of times you ever get up and, boy, I got up on the wrong side of the bed today. Most times it's going to be your husband or wife or somebody else that said that. You must have got up on the wrong side of the bed. What is it saying? Saying, well, whatever your attitude was when you got out of bed, you're destined to have that attitude all day long. There's nothing you can do about it. That's not right. Sometimes we think that, though, don't we? We need to be looking for those silver linings that folks used to talk to us about. Somebody said that ulcers are things that people get from mountain climbing over molehills. Worry has been defined as an old man with bended back and head carrying a load of feathers, which he thinks is lead. Putting our trust in God is another way that we can help ourselves when we get overly concerned. David said in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He said, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, and all that he had, was not arrayed like these lilies. And what in the world did they ever do to get the way they are? He says nothing. Jesus said again in Matthew 6:33, just after that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Am I seeking the kingdom and putting the kingdom first? Timothy, in speaking to Paul, said to him, by example, I'm sure, and by way of instruction, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Let's not be guilty of being overly anxious and worry about things that have already happened. That's one thing, you know, we can work on and work on rather easily. And let's not worry about those things that we don't have in control over. Remember when the fellow said, I'm pointing that finger at you, I'm pointing the thumb comes right back at me, and all those three fingers are pointing at me. So I have as much work to do on this as probably other people. But let's not worry about things that will never happen. Live one day at a time, the Bible says. Pray to God, the prayer of faith. God can answer prayers, and he does answer prayers. Have the right attitude of heart. Someone said that a heart full of joy has little room for worry. Let's develop more trust in God. Do your best and leave God the rest. Worry. With some, it's been a constant companion. With others of us, it's a companion perhaps too much of the time. But One other thing I'd say about that. Let's not get bogged down in the fact, well, he doesn't know where I'm coming from. He doesn't have those things to be concerned about like I am. Well, we don't know. You don't know what I have to bother me. I don't know what you have on your plate that bothers you. So it's difficult sometimes to step into the other person's shoes. But you have to go from where you are, and I have to go from where I am, and seek to work on the only thing I can work on, and that's me. If you're here this morning, not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins to be baptized for the remission, for the forgiveness of those sins. As a Christian, if you need to rededicate your life or you need prayers of this congregation this morning, would you come as we stand, as we sing?